better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Welcome into the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening in this morning. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, Maddie T, all in studio with you today. And thank you as always for making us a part of your morning this morning. Happy New Year, even though it is January 2nd. We have now entered into 2020, and it's amazing how fast 2019 went through. But it is kind of cool going to be saying all year long, 2020. It's a lot easier to say, a lot sexier to say. 2020 vision, 2020 year is what we're going to be in. So hope everybody had a wonderful new year.
Yeah, happy new year to you guys. I remember being, you know, as a kid or even in, you know, 25 years ago, graduating high school, it seemed like 2020
was light years away.
Oh, yeah. And you wondered, and we got all this great technology and all these, you know, tablets and iPhones, and your kids got stuff that we don't even understand as people in our 40s now that you kind of understand, but it's just amazing to think that we're here at the year 2020, which I'm telling you, when you're a kid, so I guess like right now my kids think the year 2050 is like so far out there, I guess would be what they think.
Yeah.
Tommy, you remember in Back to the Future Part 2, by 2015 we were supposed to have flying cars.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, I'm still on the ground.
And the Cubs were going to win a World Series, which
they got close.
Yeah, they got close for the exact year even. Yeah. So, yeah, there are a few things that were forecasted a little bit in that movie. And it is amazing that when I was thinking I was 12 years old when the year 2000 hit, and I remember the whole phenomenon of everyone thinking that the computers were going to crash, Y2K was just going to put the world back in the Stone Age, and 12. Literally nothing happened.
I was already out of college. I graduated college in the spring of that year and was working at a technology computer networking company, you know, when running Cat 5 cable was like the latest technology, you know, and we did a lot of Y2K work that turned out to be for nothing, you know.
I know. And it's just looking back on that time, I remember thinking that, you know, the same thing like you, I know as a kid, but seeing, you know, 2020 was just so far away. It's 20 years ago. I mean, that's where we're at right now. And this time flies by the older you get, 100%. And this is just a very good indication of it. But did you stay up till midnight? Like, do you do that?
I have done that, not on purpose, but the last 2 years I have been up at the stroke of midnight.
Yeah. Really? Okay. Because
I made it this year.
For some reason, I felt like you were more of the guy that's like, I don't care about
that. Well, I didn't go downtown to the ball drop. We had a pretty low key evening with some close friends at the house, ate some dinner, watched football, watched Texas. Ugh. Kind of ruined the night, get a big win. Boy, Utah was flat. Watch that. Really didn't do a whole bit, you know. Nope. I was up.
No.
I mean, me and Laura were both up.
Yeah. I mean, I stayed up till midnight, but it was more because of what I was doing. I was hanging out with some friends and whatnot. Yeah. It wasn't because I'm like, oh, I got to make it to midnight to make sure that
I don't care in
the
new
year. Yeah. I'm not about that. So it was a little different, but still enjoyable. And I know that it was over the holidays now. Everyone's going to be making New Year's resolutions, which are you a resolution guy? Do you actually do that?
I probably need to. I'm trying to figure out the difference between a resolution and a goal. Is there a difference?
I mean, I think that a resolution sounds better. I don't know if there's actually any difference in it, but it sounds better.
Oh, yes.
If you say that I have this, because goals are goals. I mean, when you do your sales meetings with your sales staff, do you have, you know, your sales goals or your sales resolutions?
You can achieve a goal, but you can break a resolution.
There you go. So, because I guess you can resolve.
You just give up on your resolution.
Yeah, resolve just give up.
Sounds
on
like
it.
Very Founding Fathers ish.
Yeah. It's like the Founding Fathers when
they had resolve, you know, we resolute.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying. It sounds better, even though I don't think it actually means anything different. So
I don't think it does either.
So I mean, but
I think that people treat it as a quote unquote goal. It pretty much is just saying, well, this year I'm going to do this. And most, I think that there's a scientific study that says by 6 weeks in, people's New Year's resolutions, like 90% of people just give up on it.
Yep.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I beat smoking for 44 years, so I guess I get that one off my
list. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Hey, here we go. That's what the thing is. You got to make your resolutions really like low.
Well, quit smoking. Wait, you don't smoke. Well, there you go.
See, look at that. Mission accomplished.
Hey. Off to a good start.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, most people say, I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to go to the gym. You know, everyone's got their resolutions. And that's what I want to have fun with this morning on the show. And since this is a sports talk radio show, sometimes we kind of claim that to be in welcoming the new year. I feel like it would be a nice, fun conversation to have for Razorback sports in 2020. What should be their resolution? What should be Razorback sports, their resolution in 2020? It can be in football, it can be in basketball, it can be in baseball, it can be just in general. What should be the resolution? What should they resolve this year?
I got a good one to start.
Boy, just lay it on me.
Get Coke back. Get rid of Pepsi. I know that's not going to happen. I know we have no control over it. Oh, it's a university thing. Telling you, that should be our resolution as fans. Somehow we as fans pulled together to make this happen.
I don't know how that. I don't know how we could do it.
I don't know.
I mean,
we could champion this campaign though, but that would be, I think, a resolution that the vast majority of our Kansans would get on board with.
Should we protest and hit?
I don't know what good it would do.
Streets, you know. I mean, what
we need more people to show up at that protest, and than the people that showed up at the rally for Petrino. We'd need a few more people than that.
Yeah, because I was like, what, 25?
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. And even that was kind of a big number than what I was expecting. But, yeah, hey, listen.
That would be a good place.
A fun resolution to have.
All right, there's the first one of the day. Let's do no worse than that.
Yeah, you can only go up from here.
You set the bar so high, though.
I don't know. That's a pretty good one, though.
Yeah, hey, listen.
We have no control over it. At least, you know, if you're going to say I want to lose some weight or I want to exercise more or I want to save money, you have some control over that.
Yeah. Well, that was
sure how much control we have over that.
That was going to be my next question, Tommy, is what's more likely to happen? Arkansas gets Coke back or you get back into it, as you say, with your workouts and with your
eating healthy. There was a long meeting last night at the house.
Uh-oh.
Between me and the missus about this whole planning our meals conversation. She was, and this all came out of root of she had the phone out and she was doing the Walmart grocery pickup. Yeah. And, you know, I said, all right, we need to no longer buy these things.
And only buy these
things.
Like, no longer buy things that taste good. And
exactly.
Stuff that's healthy.
If it tastes good, spit it out, you know.
How'd that go?
Take the dirt. She's, you know, like you said, for about 6 weeks, that everything will go smooth.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Were you all into it as well? Were you very supportive and encouraging?
I'm going to tell you, I could do this. If there wasn't just temptation around every corner for me.
Well, of course.
As long as there's Doritos in the world, I'm going to have a problem.
As long as there's a Popeyes on the corner, you're going to have an issue.
Avoid those things when I'm by myself. It's when you go home.
Somebody else is bringing them into the house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This isn't my fault. This is someone else's fault.
Yeah. I'm about to say, you can't take responsibility or hold yourself accountable for those things. It's always somebody else. Satan's at every corner, Tommy.
I'm telling you. Every time you open the fridge, there he is.
Yeah, and you're just like, man, there's a bottle of water or there's a cold beer. Which one do I go with here? I mean,
carrot sticks or there's nacho cheese Doritos.
Yeah, which, I mean, the same thing. It's the same thing. But trust me, I get it. It is very tempting, and it makes things difficult. But that's what the thing is about.
Get thee behind me, Satan.
Exactly.
Get thee away.
That's the thing about resolutions. Is it's about changing something you're not satisfied with.
Listen, if we can get rid of Chad Morris, maybe I can get Doritos out of my diet.
I mean, anything can happen at this point. But that's what we're going to discuss. We're going to have some fun with. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text into the show, 877-377-6963.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Morning Rush. You know, we've been talking about these New Year's resolutions, which we'll talk about a little more. But the bowl games that happened, especially yesterday, I usually root for the SEC in most cases. There will be some exceptions.
I did for the most part yesterday.
I mean, there'll be some. I was rooting for Kentucky. That was a great game that they had. Excuse me, in their win over Virginia Tech in the Belk Bowl. I thought that was a great
game.
New
Year's Eve.
Yeah, that was a few days ago. Yeah. But I enjoyed that. I enjoyed Michigan or Alabama beating Michigan and beating Jim Harbaugh. I enjoyed that. I mean, I didn't exactly root against Baylor, but seeing Georgia win last night was good. But I was rooting against Auburn.
Yeah,
I was rooting for Minnesota and PJ Fleck, which they had a phenomenal year. He must be just a heck of a coach. I mean,
I found it more difficult, and I've always been, because he's a Fort Smith guy. I've known him my whole. I've always rooted for Auburn because I root for Gus, other than when they play against Arkansas. I found myself because of the whole Chad Morris thing yesterday, finding that difficult to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many other people felt that way. That, you know, because I know there is a good faction of people, particularly on the western side of the state, that they hope Gus has success other than when he plays the Hogs. But I don't think, from reading social media yesterday, it doesn't seem to be a lot of carryover on that.
Mm-mm. And of course,
I think it's Chad Morris is the reason.
And the running joke was, you know, Auburn losing is because of Chad Morris. That's right. Where everybody wanted to blame.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and they ran a fake punt yesterday, which was absolutely atrocious. And I loved it because that was more of my mind. I was like, man, Chad Morris effect already coming in early, calling fake punts, which, again, I don't think he actually did. But it's more fun to think that. But that's going to be a team in a game that Arkansas fans are going to be watching a little more closely. You know, it's kind of like Arkansas fans are always going to be watching Auburn and Miles on closer. They have been, just because there's that connection there. It was the same thing what happened when Houston Nutt was at Ole Miss.
Yep.
You know, Arkansas always hates Ole Miss. They always want to beat Ole Miss. But when you had a connection there of a former coach especially, it added even more. Where you were watching the Arkansas game first, but second, you wanted to make sure that Ole Miss lost. Like, that was just the mentality. Yep.
And you took pride when and reveled in the fact when they did.
Even if your team got beat by 50 to Alabama, you were still just crowing about fact that Ole Miss or whoever lost
Jacksonville State.
And then they lost to BYU. I mean, you loved it. And I think that that's going to be a same factor with Auburn now. Like, and some of you may have already been that way because of the Gus Malzahn factor. But now that it's Gus Malzahn and Chad Morris, I think Razorback fans in general are going to be rooting hardcore against Auburn, more so than they already have been. And I think it started yesterday in that bowl game.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to have a coach fail and move on. For instance, John Pelfrey failed at Arkansas. But I don't think any Razorback fan has this strong level of disdain for John Pelfrey, because the way he handled himself, especially on his exit, he was always appreciative. He handled it with class, and people respect that. And you've seen coaches that have handled it the right way. But I think what added even more into the disdain that people have for Chad Morris was not just because he went 2-10 essentially in back-to-back years. We all know that that's a factor. But it was just like the way he handled himself was not very respectable to Razorback fans. He didn't ever said anything. He never put out any posts, any statements, which I know we've talked about a lot. During these press conferences, during these losses, it was always just got to get back to work. Very just average cliche answers.
Looking for a spark.
Yeah, looking for a spark. I mean, it was just nauseating how much those things were used. So it's even a stronger level of disdain for Chad Morris, more so than just the wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to me that now Gus Malzahn's back on the hot seat after losing to Minnesota.
That's the way it always is with him.
As is tradition. And
bipolar Auburn fans.
Yeah, and they're right back into it. And I'm sure that Razorback fans are going to be hoping that Auburn loses every game, especially when they play each other. But how long do you think Chad Morris lasts at Auburn? Is he just, do you think, and it's going to be about how long do you think Gus Malzahn lasts? Do you think this will be finally the year where they
not this
after this bowl game that they just played, but I'm talking about this upcoming season. Yeah.
It had to be a disaster of the season.
Now,
and Chad Morris,
what do you define as a disaster, just out of curiosity?
By Auburn standards, 7-5, 6-6, that's a disaster. 8-4, depending on who you lost to and how competitive those games were, probably would keep you in. You got to remember, Gus still has a pretty healthy buyout.
Yeah.
It comes down $6 or $7 million a year, but he's got a healthy buyout, which I don't care who you are. That's a consideration. You're not going to pay somebody. Of course, Florida State's just done it. Paying someone around $20 million, which is probably about where he's getting to after this year, is a lot of money to tell someone not to coach here.
I mean, that's just sickening.
Florida State just did that with Willie Taggart. But that puts a dent in your coffers no matter who you are.
Yeah. And honestly, I'm going to be curious to see how the offense develops under Chad Morris at Auburn, because they got talent, man. They got talent.
Yeah.
The quarterback situation, you know, I am sure, which apparently Chandler Morris has set his date for when he announced, I think January 6th.
Yeah.
I wonder where he's going to be going. Would you be shocked if he doesn't go to Auburn?
No, I think Oklahoma is really in play. Would I be shocked? I'd be shocked if he went somewhere other than Auburn or Oklahoma.
That's fair. But it'd just be weird that he wanted to go to Arkansas to play for his dad. Still has an opportunity to play for his dad, but then he changes it.
Maybe he's seen what his dad can do to quarterbacks. Yeah,
that'd be a good point, too. Be like, hey, Dad, I love you, but you know, I just need to go my own way. Make myself a man. Well, also,
I mean, let's face it. Lincoln Riley, a couple Heisman Trophy winners there. Or Chad Morris.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, we just...
4 wins in 2 years.
Like we just talked about. I mean, it could happen to where this year they finally fire Gus Malzahn, and after 1 year, if Chandler Morris is sitting, he's going to have to transfer. Yeah. So...
He, you know, of course, it's hard to, it's always easy to sit on the outside and say what someone else needs to do.
Of course.
But he needs to make the decision that's best for him. And if he wants to play for his dad and be coached by his dad, then he needs to go do that. Because now with the transfer portal and your ability to land somewhere else, it's easier than ever to find a new home. Now, unless you're a graduate, you still got to sit and you got to pay the 1 year off. But, you know, I think he needs to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Not, you know, if he wants to play for his dad, you only get one chance to do that. But he knows the risk of that. He saw that firsthand at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was, you know, at least from his perspective, everybody's upset that he didn't move the whole family to Fayetteville. Well, think of your Chandler Morris. Where would your college career be and where would you be now? No, you know, and how much more difficult would it be? You're trying to complete your senior year of high school. And your dad gets fired half a mile down the road as the head coach at Arkansas.
Not in the middle of the season, but...
more or less.
Yeah. It's not ideal. But if you're Chandler, I say you don't go to Auburn. And again, it's easy to tell somebody what to do. But yeah, you'd want to go somewhere else. But people are going to be watching it, man. They're going to be watching Chad Morris and Gus Malzahn. And you're going to want to beat... How badly do you... Let me put it this way. This upcoming season in conference play, if you had to rank the teams that you want to beat the most, where would Auburn rank of your 8 SEC games this upcoming season that you want to beat the most?
Because
they're not my number one. My number one is freaking Texas A&M. They're always going to be my number one because I'm sick of losing to them every year when you shouldn't be, especially. But Auburn might be my number two.
Ole Miss is getting up there, too.
Yeah, Ole Miss is probably... they're in my top three. They may be number three for me.
Now with Lane Kiffin? Uh-huh. Of course, right now, if you're Arkansas...
You just take anybody.
Can we beat Missouri?
Hey, can you beat
I don't have to wait
teams.
Till the Missouri game, though.
Yeah. Can you beat Mississippi State? You know, can you beat these teams that you should be beating or at least competing against? Can you be competitive against them?
You know, for Arkansas football to get back to Arkansas football, you've got to beat the Mississippi schools... 80% of the time combined. And that's been the problem, you know, for the last, since Petrino ran off in the ditch, is Arkansas can't beat the Mississippi schools. You got to beat all the schools that are in the states with M's, Missouri and Mississippi. You got to beat all the M teams.
The M teams.
Well, just think.
That's true.
If you had in 2 years, if you had 5 out of 6 wins, because you can play Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State every year. If you could win 5 of those 6 in a 2-year period, that's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
On having a decent year, at least. You win all 3 of them, it's hard to have an awful year. May not be a live up to expectations. That's what you got to get back to doing, beating the teams you're supposed to beat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's not, I don't think it's going to happen.
And those are the teams I think you should beat.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to add into it is that for the next pretty much 6 years, more or less, especially in the next 3, if you want to get to a bowl game, you're going to pretty much have to, because you're not that you have those one non-conference games. Like this year, you have Notre Dame. Next year, you have Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to be essentially where you're going to have to win three SEC games to get to a bowl game.
Of course, Texas, I know they won their bowl game over Utah, but Texas better get in a hurry. I mean, of course, they'll be national championship good in 2 years, because that's just the way it works. But Texas right now doesn't scare me.
No, they don't scare me, but I'm just saying you don't know what your team's going to look like at that point.
I know this. I am confident Sam Pittman will have this program and this team looking better than it's been the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not saying much, but I am confident in that.
That's factual.
They're going to get coaching. They're going to get better. There's going to be player development. There's going to be, I don't know how much better the recruiting is. Say what you want about Chad Morris. He did recruit well.
He did. It's about the only thing he did well.
He didn't develop a player while he was here. I'm not sure how much recruiting on the defensive side went in. And there's been some emphasis so far in the 2020 class, but he did recruit okay. Maybe better than okay. Just couldn't do anything with him once he got him on campus. But I'm convinced there's a more complete package now. And probably the best duo of coordinators you may have ever had.
I mean, I can't think of another one time or another time where they've had better coordinators. Yeah. At least more qualified coordinators might be the best way to put it.
You know, I'm confident the program is going to improve just based on coaching.
Yeah, yeah. And for those of you, I know if you've texted in, I was going to bring this up as well, but Arkansas's new offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, he coached in the bowl game that Florida State played in, and it was didn't go well for the Seminoles, and especially offensively, as James Blackman, their quarterback, threw four picks. But I don't think you can really look at that and say he's going to perform as an offensive coordinator at Arkansas.
I just wonder, when you have these transitions and you got one eye looking over here and one eye looking over, you can't have focus on anything. I don't know how any of the, and that's why Nick Saban gets so upset when he loses coordinators and trying to split their time, building their staffs, recruiting their kids, and not focusing on the Alabama business. And I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm paying you to be the offensive coordinator. The big problem with him and Lane Kiffin. Steve Sarkisian, same thing. These coordinators leave, Jeremy Pruitt, and they're focused on their new job, but yet they're supposed to complete the championship run in these seasons. And that's been a big hassle for him. It's no different with Kendall Briles, no different with any of these other coaches that have accepted positions elsewhere. I mean, what's Kendall Briles supposed to do? He didn't have a choice. Someone else is coming in to take his role. But how much hardcore coaching and development can you do for those kids in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't care if you're the head coach at a university or whatever you do for a living out there. It's 24/7. That's all you get. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't get more time because you're in a big coaching job.
Mm-hmm. And then listen, it's the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl. I mean, it's not like there was just huge game of circumstance either. So I'm not looking at that game and saying that that's any sort of indication on what you're going to get from Kendall Briles as offensive coordinator. And to me, you're just going to have to wait and see what year one has for Arkansas's offense. To me, it's not saying that if he has a number one offense in the country, then, oh, of course it's going to work. You got to be reasonable about it. You got to be understanding about it, that this is going to take some time. But if they can make leaps and bounds strides in their offense, and you can at least see what they're trying to do, because you couldn't see what Chad Morris was trying to do. You couldn't figure that out because it wasn't there. No, I don't even think they knew what they were trying to do. But it's about, just about this year one, that's where you're going to know what you have with Kendall Briles. That's what you're going to know you're going to have with this offense, and especially developing a quarterback, which you're going to be monitoring to see how that situation goes too.
Morning Rush brought to you by OG&E. If your home's in Arkansas and at least 10 years old, listen up. They've got a free weatherization program with OG&E to lower your bills and increase your comfort. A trained crew will perform an energy audit at no cost to you. And if your home qualifies, they have crews that come back and install measures like attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more. It's an absolutely free program to qualifying homes. Call 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
Yeah, and just speaking generally now, when we're talking about these bowl games, talking about Kendall Briles and Chad Morris, and is that any sort of indication? What from these bowl games, can you really learn anything? Like, does anything matter? I know in some cases, like last night when Oregon ended up beating Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
you could tell that meant a lot to Oregon. They, the way they celebrated, they went nuts.
Well, the Rose Bowl, even when it's not a championship or a playoff game, winning the Rose Bowl is still a big deal.
Right. But then there are some.
I think it's a bigger deal than the Sugar or the Orange Bowl or any of these other New Year's Day bowls that we've always called them. Yeah. Now the New Year's Day Six.
Yeah.
It's still a bigger deal.
It's a bigger deal. But can you really take anything from bowl games?
Well, I think you can. To me, one thing you can take away, like Utah, their coaching staff did not have those. They were flat against Texas. And I can understand why. They're in the Valero Alamo Bowl as the 11th team of the country with 11 wins.
It's kind of strange.
It's all because they lost to who? Oregon.
That's right.
They beat Oregon. They play in the Rose Bowl. And Oregon's probably in San Antonio playing flat. Because you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
I think what it does tell you is coaching staffs that can get their kids prepared to play at a high level of effort. And I think it's harder than ever before because you got, you know, Georgia was having to overcome a lot of kids that sat out that were draft eligible juniors. Saban, after the win over Michigan, complimented and talked about the players that played for their teammates and the love of their teammates that were draft eligible juniors that could have said, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing in the VRBO, the vacation rental deal, you know.
I just stick with what the
Verbo
name is.
They call it Verbo, the Citrus Bowl. It's been everything, the Capital One Bowl, all this stuff. Right. It's a meaningless. All of these games were more or less meaningless yesterday. They're hollow trophies.
Mm-hmm.
But yet Saban got his kids to, that could have sat and not risked injury, to play one more game for their teammates.
Yeah,
I think that's what it tells you. Which coaching staffs find the ways to push the right buttons for their kids in games that really have no consequence?
And I think another element that goes into it as well is that it depends on where your program is at. Because looking back on the Texas Bowl in 2014, I believe, when Arkansas played in that, how badly did Arkansas want that bowl game, want to play in that bowl game, wanted to win that bowl game? Because they had just come off of two disastrous seasons, and that meant a lot to them.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean as much to Texas.
Right.
And it showed. And it's about, like, in coming up this season. If Arkansas got to play in Shreveport or wherever, if Arkansas got to go to the Birmingham Bowl, Tommy, in 2020, how much do you think Arkansas would care about winning that game? I think they'd care a lot.
Particularly for your upperclassmen who have not tasted a bowl game in a while. That's kind of the same situation when they played Texas down in Houston. When you haven't had any success over your 4 or 5 year span. You haven't gotten, you know, that's the thing. All these guys that are on teams that didn't make bowl games, they're high school buddies and they're the people they went to camps with and people they have relationships with on other teams. You know, they're watching them on Twitter and Instagram and other, you know, seeing what they got in their swag bag at their bowl. While you're sitting there with nothing. You know, nothing under your Christmas tree, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, when you've been to 2 or 3 or 4 bowl games in your time in college, I can see how you can be flat. For Arkansas, if they were in that situation, even in a lower or lowest tier bowl game, I think they'd come out motivated just because those juniors and seniors haven't tasted any success and haven't been in any bowl
game. Mm-hmm. But then the reverse can happen as well, as we've been discussing, is that if Arkansas, just using them as an example, had gone to the Cotton Bowl 1 year, and then maybe went to the Sugar Bowl 1 year, but then the next year they go to the Liberty Bowl. Not to say that there wouldn't be some players that want to play in it, but it doesn't have the same.
That's how you fall flat.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same gusto behind it. But it's about where your program is at. Because right now, let's be honest, folks. Right now, Arkansas has missed a bowl game 3 straight seasons. And I could be completely wrong about this. I need Hutch on this show. Could be completely wrong about this, but at least in my real rigid research, that 4 years straight without a bowl game, if Arkansas didn't make a bowl game in 2020, would be the longest stretch in like 50 years that Arkansas has not made a bowl game. So,
and knowing that 30 or 40 years ago, there was only like 8 bowl games.
Yes, you know. Yes. And again, I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that's what the stats say. But either way, if Arkansas made it to a bowl game in 2020.
Four years in today's time with 4 or 5 bowl games.
Where you see 5 and 7 teams getting in?
Right.
Yeah.
And there weren't any this year.
No, not this year.
But there have been in previous years. Yeah, I mean, with There's a hunt with half of the teams that play FBS football making a bowl, maybe over half now. It is over half because there's 35 bowl games, 70 of the 125 or whatever it is. Yeah, it's not that impressive that you made a bowl game 2 or 3 or 4 years in a row. When you did it in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s, it was a far more impressive thing. You know, there's coaches that made bowl games still got fired this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's changed over the past just even 10, 15 years in bowl games. I mean, that's just where you're at. And honestly, right now, Arkansas would take a bowl game no matter where it's at next year. Like in 2020, I make fun of the bowl game that's in Montgomery because I think that as far as destinations go, that might be the worst location you could possibly have a bowl game. But you know what? If Arkansas got invited to play in Montgomery for a bowl game, let's pack up the Morning Rush. Let's go. Let's go to the capital of Alabama.
Well, the good thing is when you're in the SEC, there aren't very many bad bowl destinations.
No. And Birmingham's probably the worst one.
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, because you got Arkansas played down in Houston, which I think that's as far as lower bowl, that's an awesome one because you're playing an NFL stadium and you're in Houston.
It's well run.
Yeah, very well run. So you have that. Arkansas playing the Liberty Bowl a lot, which is in Memphis. Not a bad place. Good barbecue. Not a bad
stadium. Terrible stadium.
Yeah, oh, yeah. The stadium's horrible, but you get great
Arkansas
barbecue.
Likes it because Liberty Bowl loves having Arkansas because they sell tickets.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the key for a lot of it. But you have Nashville, which is a great place. You got Charlotte, where the Belk Bowl's at that Arkansas played in.
Did you go over there for that trip?
No.
I went for that fabulous city, great stadium, NFL stadium. So, yeah, I went to the Belk Bowl and, that's another underrated bowl experience.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the Florida bowl games that they have connections to, whether it's in Tampa or Orlando or Jacksonville. Yeah, wherever it's at, there's the connections there too. So the point is that, yeah, you're not going to, if you go to a bowl game in the SEC, odds are you're not going to be going to a terrible place. But Arkansas has not experienced going to a bowl game for quite some time. They haven't experienced having that good feeling of at least you accomplished something. Ending the season on a positive note, because let's be honest, Tommy, since the Texas Bowl, Arkansas has not ended. No, excuse me. Since the Liberty Bowl, Arkansas has not ended the season with a victory.
And just makes the offseason that much better.
Because if you lose, when it you makes win. It long, man. It's a long offseason.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Let's go to the phone lines as we welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom, and Happy New Year. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Happy 2020 to you guys.
Yeah, well, it's going to be an interesting year of this year for Razorback sports especially. And I kind of want to start with just that in general, because we've been having fun and saying, what is the New Year's resolution for Razorback fans when Razorback sports? You know, is it simply winning an SEC game in football? Is it making the NCAA tournament in basketball? Make it the College World Series final in baseball? Whatever it is. In 2020, what would you think would be a good New Year's resolution for Razorback fans and Razorback sports? Something you'd like to see accomplished this year?
Oh, gosh. Winning 5 games in football, maybe? I think definitely winning an SEC game, because it's just been such a drought. And, oh, yeah, definitely making the NCAA tournament for the men's basketball. How about another national championship in women's track? And here's one for you, winning an SEC meet in gymnastics, because I kind of cover that sport. And last year was the first time they went over in the SEC, and now Jordan Weaver takes over, and maybe they can break that string too.
What would be a reasonable resolution for baseball, the most successful of the major sports up there, when, you know, they've had so much success in recent years? It seems like just making the College World Series isn't quite enough.
Well, the only thing left on the table, man, is to win it.
Yeah.
I was sitting in that press box a couple of years ago when that foul pop happened, and catch that foul pop, and they got that one. So, yeah, the only thing that's left for Dave Van Horn is to win the whole shebang.
All right, Tom, just talking specifically now about the basketball team. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you since they had that great victory over Indiana, which really got Razorback fans. They were already excited about basketball, but that really has sent it into a fever pitch heading into Texas A&M on Saturday and starting up SEC play. Ours only has one loss, and it was an overtime loss on the road to Western Kentucky. I mean, what is this team doing to get to this point to where I don't want to say it's overachieving because no one really knew what to expect out of them, but what is the main reason why this team is having so much success, especially going on the road against two Power Five teams and getting out of there with victories?
Well, I do think they are overachieving. I think they are just buying into this game planning, and each game there's such an intensity in terms of studying the opponent and knowing what to do. I mean, they were at a huge, just a distinct disadvantage with rebounding against Indiana and the freshman kid, number four, who tore them up in the first half. But they stuck to their plan, and they hit the threes in that game. I mean, because without the three-point shooting, obviously, it's a different game that night. But thankfully, their guard, that number 11, Green, kept shooting in the second half. It's almost like they felt like if they hit one more three, that might be the backbreaker that would, you know, make Arkansas go away. They couldn't. And between Joe and Jones, they kept stroking those three-pointers. And Indiana kept showing impatience on the offensive end and missing free throws as well. And they came back. And what a huge win. I mean, that is a big-time resume builder for your NCAA tournament resume.
I'm excited. I think a lot of people are excited about the atmosphere that's potentially going to be there Saturday. I know Eric Musselman experienced what the crowd was like at Verizon, big crowd, that opening game with Rice that had 17,000 that was his first game. But, Tom, I don't think he really knows yet what Bud Walton can truly be. And that's what I guess I'm excited to see what his response is if the building's as good as I think Bud Walton can be. I'm excited to see what Musselman really thinks after he gets a true taste of Bud Walton.
Yeah, and he's largely responsible for what's going on here.
Yeah. I mean,
you're right. A Saturday, if the circumstances are set up nicely for them, Saturday, hopefully a lot of students will be back. But yeah, this could be a really nice atmosphere with A&M in town. And I don't know what has happened that's led A&M to being 5-5, but you know, or whatever their record is right now. But the Razorbacks are favored; they're on a roll. But they've got to be focused upon, hey, you know, this isn't going to be a pushover game. We got to do just like we've been doing: embrace the game planning and go out there and capture the moment.
Tom, Arkansas has 19 games left in the regular season, 18 SEC games, and of course, the game against TCU. Is there a number of wins they have to get to say, all right, even not needing any SEC tournament wins or anything like that, to say this is an NCAA tournament team? Is there a particular win and loss mark that they have to make?
Well, not the way the committee does it now with the advanced analytics and everything. But I would think that if they can go 9-9, that's going to be a beautiful record. If you could go 9-9 in the SEC right now. They're just such a razor thin margin for them in terms of their roster. You can't afford any injuries, and every time Desi Sills falls to the court, you're just like, wow, you know, we can't afford to lose this guy. And so I look at them and think that they look like an NCAA team the way they won these road games, and quite frankly, they should be undefeated. I mean, having a 5-point lead with 30 something seconds left against Western Kentucky. They just fouled too early going down the stretch, and I wish they'd had a better last possession. But hey, they've been in every game, and I suspect they can hang in with Kentucky, Auburn, Tennessee. It doesn't matter. I think they can hang in with all those teams.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, always appreciate it. Tom, have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next week. All right,
sounds great. See y'all.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
It's also a Thursday, so it's a recruiting Thursday. And to talk a lot about recruiting heading into the 2020 year, let's welcome in Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Richard. How was your new year, my man?
It was pretty uneventful, you know. As you get a little older, you're not as active, and you don't get crazy like you used to.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I know a lot of people are in the same way.
John will figure this out someday. Being in bed asleep by 10:30 is a good New Year's Eve once you get to 40 plus, isn't it, Richard?
There you go, and hey. When you've been there and done it so many times, you've had your time.
Yeah.
Well, Richard, there's a lot of things I want to get into, speaking with recruiting and starting with, of course, football, because the signing day is upon us now. You just have about a month to get the rest of the recruiting class done and shored up and to have your 2020 class all put together. So heading in for this next month, and the coaching staff has kind of been put together a little bit. Now we see Kendall Briles as the OC and quarterback coach. It's all starting to come together there. What's the forecast looking like for Arkansas's next month for the 2020 class? Where are some guys they're looking at? What are some positions that they're really going to focus on? What's all going on right now?
Well, right now they got about 11, 12 kids coming in January the 17th weekend. So that's going to be a very busy weekend. And obviously, once the dead period's over, which is a day before that, the 17th, the coaches will be hitting the road again and visiting kids in high schools and in homes. But, right now you have 9 signees, 2 commitments. I anticipate 19 to 21 or so signees, and probably leave other spots open for possible transfers.
How do you balance the time of your Sam Pittman and his staff moving forward with trying to shore up what you can for the rest of this class, but also starting those relationships with those very valuable 2022 recruits? We've talked about this many times, how those relationships have to be forged over 2 to 3, sometimes 4 years, and you start recruiting kids their sophomore year. There's really got to be a lot of focus right now, I guess, Richard, on the 2022 class.
Yeah, definitely. They're definitely looking towards the future. There's no doubt they've already extended some offers to some kids and the lower classes. So you definitely obviously focus on closing out this class, but they'll be visiting kids. They can't necessarily visit kids, but they can see the kids. They just can't talk to them. I'm talking about the underclassmen. Now the seniors, they can talk to them when they go visit their schools, but the other kids, they can't. But obviously the kids will know that they're there. And then after signing day, they'll get even more intense about building relationships with those kids. And they already have Isaac Thompson, a 2022 defensive back from St. Louis, is already coming in for an unofficial visit on the 25th. So I think the 25th is going to be a busy Saturday, not only with official visitors, but also unofficial visitors.
Hey, I read your piece on Austin Ledbetter, Bryant's quarterback, who is actually an Arkansas baseball commitment, but he's starting to think about ways to maybe play college football rather than baseball. Tell us more about Austin, and is there maybe a chance for him to be a two-sport star at Arkansas?
I think it's possible. How difficult it was with Connor Nolan, and it is very difficult to play both sports now because both sports take so much out of you. But he is definitely enjoying football, and his love for football has grown over the last couple of years because of the success of what Bryant's had, state back-to-back state championships, and then just the way he played this year. Saw him in the opening game against Benton, and I instantly said after a half, I said, this guy can play D1 football. And I'm sure you read what Clint Sterner said in the story that I wrote about Austin. He thinks he's an elite type quarterback, and everything he does, some guys when they're a quarterback, it just seems like sometimes they force some things and they just don't want that natural when they throw the ball or when they're rolling out, and just different things. Everything he does, it's almost like it's second nature to him, and he's extremely accurate. He's got the good arm. So he's got all the tools to play on the next level football-wise. The deal is will schools, because a lot of schools, and we know this, in the past, when a kid commits for baseball, a lot of times they're kind of scared to extend offers. But I think with him voicing his desire to play football on the next level, I think things could open up.
It's hard to turn down, though, that track record Dave Van Horn has of getting players to the league, getting players to professional baseball. And it's certainly been one of the best programs the last decade of doing that. So that'd be a tough decision when Dave Van Horn wants you to come play baseball as well.
Exactly. How do you say, Coach, I want to play football too? And he allowed it with Connor, but we just saw the difficulty and how taxing it is to try to play both sports. And the odds are against you playing both sports, but maybe he could pull it off.
Richard, let me ask you about Kendall Briles. Now that it's official that he is the offensive coordinator, he's also going to be the quarterback's coach for Arkansas. What's his recruiting kind of about? Because that's something that Razorback fans have been interested in. They can look at the stats of the offenses that he's coached. They can look at some of the quarterbacks that he's coached and all that. But as far as recruiting goes, what can kind of be expected out of him? Is he well-respected in the circles of recruiting? What do you know about him?
Well, and just talking to some kids and talking to some parents, are very excited about about him being the OC. And he obviously, he's got a reputation of playing exciting offenses. And if you're a skilled guy, that's what you want to do. You will play in offenses that are very productive and exciting and up-tempo. If you can get your touches, I mean, that's what kids are all about. And I think his reputation as a recruiter, based on what the people that I've talked to, it's very good. Obviously, he's got the Texas background, but he's been in other states too, especially the latest with Florida. So he's developed relationships in those areas. But being the OC and the quarterback coach, I think he'll probably mostly just focus on quarterbacks. But I'm sure he'll be involved with skilled guys and other guys too. But I would imagine his main focus would be quarterbacks.
Speaking of quarterbacks, they got KJ Jefferson. We know that we've seen him a bit. And then they have Jack Lindsey. They have John Stephen Jones. Nick Starkle transferred out. Ben Hicks had graduated. They may still be able to recruit. So, but as far as the quarterback situation, do you still believe that they're going to go in and try to get a true freshman quarterback, a guy out of high school? What's that looking like? Are they going to go in the transfer portal, the graduate transfer? What is the quarterback going to look like, the quarterback situation for Arkansas heading into 2020?
Well, they got Malik Hornsby, a four-star ESPN 300 quarterback coming in the 24th. It looks like Arkansas, Baylor, and Purdue for him. Probably Arkansas and Baylor, but I know that he really likes Purdue. He's the number eight dual threat quarterback in the country, according to ESPN. So he'll be coming in. And then obviously I think you also look at the portal too and see what's available for immediate help. I mean, I'm not saying Malik couldn't come in as a freshman, but again, we've seen the odds of that happening and being successful as a true freshman. It's not the highest percentage, but I just tend to think you go for youth, and I think you go for experience too. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Sam Pittman starting to round out his staff a little more now that Kendall Briles is in place. John Cooper has changed his Twitter profile that he's going to be the tight ends coach at Arkansas. What can you tell us about what appears to be Arkansas's new tight ends coach? Nothing official from the U of A, but when they changed the Twitter profile, that makes it pretty official anymore, Richard.
Yeah, you're right. And talking to an Oklahoma contact, he could talk highly enough about Coach Cooper. So all I know is just a little bit of what I've read about his bio from Central Florida. And obviously he played at Oklahoma and played in the NFL, but supposed to be a guy that's pretty respected in the coaching ranks, and is a guy that can really relate to the kids. And obviously that bodes well for recruiting, but I look forward to learning more about him, to be honest with you.
Richard, I got to ask you this, too, because this was something that happened over the past week or so in dealing with the Arkansas recruiting. But the story about, like, John Oliver looked like he got a preferred walk-on offer, but then there's been some speculation that it might have been kind of a hoax, a catfish, if you will, where it wasn't real. What's the situation about? Because we've had some people texting us this morning wanting us to ask you about it. Can you enlighten us a little more on that situation?
Yeah. Evidently, somebody from a 501 number was pretending to be Brad Davis and evidently convinced John that that he was Brad Davis. And in the communication we all, you know, allegedly saw, I mean, well, the communication between the two supposedly has been on social media, and the person posing as Coach Brad Davis, you know, talked about him being a preferred walk-on, and evidently that's what went down.
All right, Richard, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about basketball, because I saw that K.K. Robinson is going to be heading to Fayetteville, going to the Arkansas-Texas A&M game. He's going to be there at Bud Walton. What is that story all about? Is there any other visits that are in place as far as basketball goes, as far as recruiting goes? What's the situation look like there?
Well, Jackson Robinson, he's a 2021 shooting guard. He'll be coming in. He's an ESPN four-star kid, too. I think number 8 in the country, according to ESPN, as far as a shooting guard in the 2021 class. He'll be making his third visit since August. So that tells you that he's definitely interested in Arkansas. And he had a prior relationship with Coach Crutchfield. Coach Crutchfield's done an outstanding job with him. And then, obviously, Coach Musselman's very active in the recruiting process with all these kids. So, you know, when you make three trips to a school within, say, about a six-month period, you're very serious about that school. So, at least just two kids coming right now. There might be some others.
Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Richard. Great stuff, man. Enjoy the weekend, and looking forward to catching up with you next Thursday, all right?
All right, buddy. We'll see you guys.
Hey, appreciate Thanks, Richard. It, Richard. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or to text into the show. You know, the recruiting stuff that he was bringing up and looking at what Sam Pittman and the staff's going to try to accomplish here in the next month, I do find it fascinating that when Kendall Briles was announced and him going to be coaching quarterbacks, which is obviously something Arkansas has needed for quite a few years or a couple of years now, especially that's going to be, of course, where everyone's going to be looking at, because Tommy, let's be honest, this past decade, because everyone was doing these little like past 10 year lists and whatnot, but the past 10 years by and large has been a golden era for Razorback quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Brian Mallett, Tyler Wilson, Brandon Allen, Austin Allen were all a stretch that was about as good as you could ask for quarterbacks. I mean, there's a reason why Brian Mallett was in the NFL for as long as he was. Tyler had a little cup of coffee there as well. You also have Brandon Allen, who's still in the NFL, and Austin Allen, who's at least playing professionally. So you've had some really high-quality quarterbacks. It just makes me wonder if Arkansas, was it just a shot in a pan? Was it just luck that they ran into with that? Or can they get back to where they can have another stretch, where they can have phenomenal quarterbacks in play? Because you can see the type of difference it makes in college football. It's a quarterback-driven league. It's a quarterback-driven sport. So can they get back to that point where they're churning out and you never have to worry about quarterbacks?
I think when you have the kind of development Arkansas had during that era, it's easier to recruit the top quarterbacks in your region to come to your school because they know the kind of development it's going to take place. And all of these guys just want one shot. And what's that, John? To play in the NFL.
Yeah.
So you need to play in a coach for a coach in a system that can get you there. Arkansas had that 8, 9, 10 years ago. Don't have it right now. So it's hard to recruit the kind of talent to come in. And it starts with talent. I mean, you can't start with a 2-star guy very often and turn him into a 5-star quarterback. I mean, coaches are good, but, I mean, they're not miracle workers often. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, you need to start with a good quality prospect to begin with.
Yeah.
And the best prospects want to play for the best developers of quarterbacks.
Yeah. And let's be honest, quarterback, especially at the high school level, and I'm sure you can attribute this to Tommy, is the most scrutinized, the most looked at, the most energized position of any group of football players. I mean, this the Elite 11 group that always gets mentioned around. I mean, you're going to have more scouts looking at quarterbacks, so it's easier as far as recruiting services go to be able to pinpoint, all right, this guy's a phenomenal quarterback. Because you have so many people looking at him, so many scouts, so many, you're talking about NFL guys, everybody's looking at these particular prospects saying they have that potential. So it's a lot easier to understand there too. But the reason I'm hoping that it's not just a flash in the pan with what quarterbacks what Arkansas's had with their quarterback situation over the past 10 years is what did the four quarterbacks that I just mentioned, what did they all have in common between Ryan Mallett, Tyler Wilson, Brandon and Austin Allen? What did they all have in common?
Besides they were right-handed?
besides they were right-handed. Essentially, I know people are going to say, well, actually, but essentially they're all from Arkansas.
Right.
Ryan Mallett, I know he played Texarkana.
Texarkana.
He lived in Arkansas. He grew up a Razorback fan.
Right.
He was a Razorback.
Right.
So you had that with Tyler and the two Allen boys.
Right.
So not only did you have great quarterbacks, but you had great quarterbacks from the state of Arkansas. Right. So my question is going to be, is that what they're going to have to rely on now? Is that what we're going to have to do with Kendall Briles? Are they going to have to rely on getting a quarterback outside the state of Arkansas in order to be successful? Or do they just need to be hopefully having a good stretch of quarterbacks come through this league?
Quinn Grovey was from Oklahoma. You know, he was one of the best quarterbacks to ever play here. Clint Sterner was from Texas. You know, so, I mean, do you have to be from Arkansas? No.
No.
We all know that. But I just hate the fact that Jacoby Criswell, and you can't blame the kid, is going to North Carolina because Arkansas didn't recruit him. You hate when the best quarterbacks in our state or the best of anything in our state goes to another Power 5 school anywhere else, particularly in the SEC. That's what I hate, whether it's a left tackle, quarterback, tight end, safety, doesn't matter to me. If they're good enough to play at a Power 5 level and they're the best in the state we have, recruit them, regardless of what you look like on paper. Because as we've seen with the transfer portal, it can all change in a heartbeat. Particularly once they get that graduate beside their name, then they can go anywhere and not wait.
Right. No, and I'm not saying that you have to get Arkansas quarterbacks to be successful. No. I'm simply saying that what Arkansas has had and where they got Razorback fans a little spoiled was that you had a great stretch of great in-state quarterbacks.
I don't think there's another stretch in Arkansas football history where you had that because Mallett, Wilson, Allen, all three of those guys in a row were drafted, right?
Yes.
So I don't think you've had a stretch where you had three starting quarterbacks in a row drafted that I can remember.
I mean, when was the last quarterback that you had before that drafted?
It is before my lifetime, and we've looked this up, and I don't think there was a stretch where you had three. I think there's been two back in the 70s. But back-to-back-to-back starting quarterbacks that were drafted in the NFL.
Because I don't think Sterner was drafted into the NFL, if I remember correctly. And, I mean, so even in general, you haven't had a lot of quarterbacks drafted, let alone three in a row.
Right.
So, and that's my point, is that what were those years about, though? Those three quarterbacks led to, I know Brandon Allen didn't have the same success as Mountain Wilson, but those guys led to the highest level success, especially offensively, that you've had pretty much in your history as a program.
So, I mean, you've got to get back to a point where this becomes the place to play in the state. Where a Jacoby Criswell, who wanted to play here, there is no consideration of going elsewhere.
But I think that circumstance was just
it's certainly not the kid's fault.
Yeah, because if Pittman was the coach earlier, he would have been an Arkansas Razorback.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.